private investments, what you need to know about them, and why you need to know it, right now on Your Money Manual. And here's the host of Your Money Manual, the CEO of Wealth Strategies Advisory Group and creator of the Household Endowment Model, Vince Anable.
Hello, and welcome to Your Money Manual, an educational program we created because we know that when it comes to investing, your money doesn't always come with instructions. It rarely does. So our objective is to provide you with a fresh perspective on wealth management that will help you grow, preserve, protect your assets, help you build and secure a financial legacy for yourself and one that your heirs deserve. Along with producer Jeff Allen, I'm Vince Anable, and on this edition of the program, I want to talk with you about private investments and how they're different from publicly traded investments, some examples of private investments, and why you should strongly consider those for a portion of your portfolio. All right, so an example for you today on publicly traded investments would be publicly traded shares of stock or publicly traded bonds. You can buy IBM, you can buy General Motors, you can buy Facebook. Those are all publicly traded. They are priced every day and the market goes up. And as you know, the market can go down. The more volatility, the more ups and downs we typically see with our publicly traded investments. And the reason we like to diversify out of those and maintain a portion of the investment portfolio in private investments. A private investment would be a opportunity to invest in, say, a limited partnership private placement offering with, say, a family office who has created the ability for you to, like some institutional investors, can invest side by side with them in shares of a limited partnership, but it is not reported or traded on a daily basis. So we refer to this as a private investment. And typically the private investments do not offer, as I said, daily pricing. So you do not have the volatility. And it's also what we would consider an illiquid investment. Similar to if you were to buy an apartment building someplace in the country, you purchased the building, you now own all of the apartments and you're collecting rents. You have a dividend coming in basically after buying that, but it does not go up and down in value just because you see the stock market go up and down in value. So our illiquid investments are private investments we have with proven outside private investment money managers.
In relation to publicly traded investments, like you talked about your commonly publicly traded equities and so forth, how safe really are these investments? I mean, can they be more speculative in nature than publicly traded equities or commodities, which might make them inherently more risky, at least in some cases?
Well, there really is no one size fits all when it comes to the risk of private investments any more than measuring the risk of publicly traded investments. You have all different types of asset classes, and the objectives of the funds are all various and different. So you could have a private investment that invests in a company that does nothing but buy Walgreens, CVS, and Bank of America locations and leases it back to them. And that would be what we would consider a safe investment because you have it the security of knowing Bank of America, Walgreens, Starbucks, et cetera, are paying your rents every month. They have signed a long-term contract. The only thing you don't have is you don't have liquidity. So we feel something like that could be just as safe as, say, buying a publicly traded conservative stock. Same goes for you can buy an aggressive stock portfolio or an aggressive stock, and the volatility is going to be much wilder going up and down. You could also buy a aggressive private investment that may make be pursuing high growth objectives might be tied up in just venture capital and one particular investment. So because you don't have diversification, you have much more risk. So there's many types of private investments that are not considered safer or more aggressive. There's just many types, and we can build and choose a portfolio dependent upon the client's risk objectives and profile.
When we're talking about private investments, one thing kind of strikes me, Vince, right away is you won't hear private investments discussed very much in terms of the kinds of opportunities or investments that most average investors might take advantage of. I mean, is there a reason for that, do you think?
I think an awful lot of it has to do with the fact that we still live in a world that is run by folks who have public types of investments that they want to promote and that they want to put out in front of the public for the public to invest in because they're easily readily available to the public. An awful lot of the advisors in our world don't take the time to get an education on the different private investments, look for private investments, because it is a totally different type of an investment. It does take some expertise and an awful lot of work to uncover the solid ones and make sure that proper due diligence is done on all of those. So I just think it's an education process, and it's something that has not come out in the general public in a large way, such as hearing about investing in a 60% bond or stock fund and a 40% bond fund, or buying IBM stock or buy Facebook, whatever it might be.
I'm glad you mentioned too something about due diligence. I want to kind of come back around to that here in just a second, Vince. If we take an investor with kind of a long-term view, and hopefully most of our listeners will have that long-term view, is there a rule of thumb concerning how much an investor's portfolio should be allocated to private investments?
No, it always goes back to what is the risk profile for the client? What are the objectives for the client? What are their income needs? What are their liquidity needs? What is the time frame they have to make the investments? And we base all of our portfolio development for each and every client on a personalized fact-finding mission that we go through to identify all of those issues. What's their risk tolerance? What are their needs? What's their longevity, et cetera, et cetera. So there is no rule of thumb for what percentage you should have in private versus what percentage you should have in public securities.
Now, if I wanted to begin my own research, looking into private investment opportunities for my own portfolio, what should I keep in mind? What should I be on the lookout for?
Well, typically, these private investments are built, designed for accredited investors, i.e. those investors who have a net worth of $1 million or more, or they have an income stream over the last couple of years, every year of $200,000 or $300,000 per year. So they are typically designed for a higher net worth client or individual or family. And it is really difficult to tell them how they would go find these on their own, because in most cases, private Reg D offerings are not out for general solicitation to the public. They are almost always brought to individual investors through relationships, such as we have with our clients. So the key really is to find an advisor who does a lot of work in private investments and find somebody you're comfortable with working with there that is able to bring you a very well diversified array of private investments with all different levels of risk and income and longevity, timeframes, et cetera.
Give us some kind of a sense about these private investments and maybe a couple of examples about what their objectives are in terms of what they seek to return and why we should look to these particular types of investments, regardless of what our objectives necessarily might be.
couple of examples for you. Some of our favorites and what we refer to as our foundational type of investments are those investments that are going to be privately structured, and you are investing side by side with the general partners. Typically, it could be the management team and or a family office or a family enterprise that you're working with. Some of our family enterprises have been around for the last 30 to 75 years, establishing these different funds and allowing investors to invest side by side with them. A couple of them I may have mentioned in the past. We have one that is what we refer to as a private triple net lease opportunity, where they only buy and develop the corner of Main Street and Main Street, a single standing building, which could very well be a CVS pharmacy, a Walgreens, a Bank of America, a Starbucks, a Wawa, which is a gas station in Florida and on the East Coast. That would be one example. So you invest side by side with the management team. They put together this limited partnership or a REIT in this particular case. And when you invest in that, you're investing with them. You're collecting a dividend off of that investment, and your investment is secured by the real estate that is backing up that partnership, i.e. that real estate that these folks have gone out and bought and developed for those tenants. Another example is, and especially in this market, we're looking at opportunities in industrial warehouse distribution buildings. And we have a company we work with. What do? They buy industrial warehouse space. The value of those buildings is typically $5 to $25 million. And they allow you to invest side by side with them. This particular company has been in business 75 years. They buy the building. They get a long-term lease from one of their tenants. Some of their tenants have included FedEx, Amazon, Kellogg's, et cetera, all name brand companies. Because what happens when you have a product you manufacture, you have to get it distributed out to the consumer. And the only way to do that is through distribution warehouse spaces for them to store and move them along to the next area. If you look around your house, everything except maybe the concrete foundation has come through a distribution warehouse spot. So same thing here. We are allowing our clients to invest side by side with these folks. They are then going to collect the dividend, pay out a dividend to the particular clients and investors of this partnership. So, Jeff, I think those are two examples. We have many others. We work with private equity firms. We work with venture capital firms. We work with energy companies. So we can develop a portfolio within our household endowment model, which is the core foundational part of our portfolio development, and design a portfolio that's customized, personalized for each individual client's needs. If anybody would like to learn about the household endowment model, go to the householdendowmentmodel.com website. There's a video that they can watch. There are some white papers that they can download and take a look at. And we highly recommend you do that. We recommend you take a look at our website for Wealth Strategies Advisory Group, which is WSAGAZ.com. That's the official website of Wealth Strategies Advisory Group, because we really do believe that if you have an interest in learning more about private investments, you should find somebody who understands them and deals with them, works with them on a daily basis. And if that's of interest to you, please feel free to give us a call. Our phone number is 888-635-9724. And just in case you're wondering, Jeff, what we might be talking about over the next few weeks, we're going to take a really close look, a deeper dive into what the wealth management process means. It's a totally different idea than what you hear traditionally from somebody saying, well, let's do a financial plan. A wealth management process, we're going to have an episode, a show on that. We are also going to have a tax expert, our accountant from our CPA firm that we do a lot of work with, Legacy CPAs. Trent Erickson will be on to go through some different tax strategies, because it is year end. People should be looking at tax planning ideas before the year closes out, because after December 31st, you can't go back and try to restate something and make an allocation into some tax-favored investment for yourself. And then we're going to get into estate planning, because people really are concerned about developing their wealth and minimizing their taxes, but at the same time, they want to make sure that whatever assets and growth they have throughout their portfolio and throughout their lifestyle, they're able to pass that on in ways that are satisfactory to them.
Awesome show, Vince, today, and really looking forward to our next ones together. Thanks so much, man.
You are welcome, Jeff. Look forward to being back.
If you like what you hear on Your Money Manual, connect with Wealth Strategies Advisory Group on Facebook and LinkedIn. Give us a thumbs up while you're there, share shows and posts with your friends and colleagues, and let us know if you have a question on a topic that we've covered, or if you have an idea for discussion on a future show. We hope you enjoyed this edition of Your Money Manual with Vince Annable. Thanks again for listening. This program has been presented for the education of our listeners only and is not intended as investment advice, nor is it intended as a solicitation of investment products or services of any kind. We encourage you to seek the advice of a licensed professional financial advisor before making any investment decisions.